Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning, Philip.
So we're taking a little break this morning from a conference that we're at.
Amazing
parish. Amazing parish. A parish.
Parish or parish?
I think it's amazing parish.
We should check that.
We should. We're at the conference. Maybe we should look at our brochure a little more carefully. Yeah, so we took a little break to come down here to do that, but it's at the Wisconsin Center and a very big and a very important gathering of all of the parishes in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and from around the country to come together for this amazing parish conference, national conference.
And see if we learned something about how to...
Yeah, you know, there's some best practices, but also to pray together as parishes with leadership teams and to think about what do we need to do to live healthy and happy parishes.
Mm-hmm. Here we are, Two Guys and a Gospel. My name is Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, from whose studios we are recording this show.
And I'm the other guy of the Two Guys and the Gospel, Father Philip Bogacki, and the pastor at Christ King Parish and St. Bernard Parish. Both of those are in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, just near Milwaukee. So like last week, there are options for really the length of the Gospels. I don't know why. Both options are pretty similar. Mm-hmm. But so when you're at Mass, you might hear a different one. We're going to read, again, the longer version, which is just a few verses longer than the short version.
And the gospel we're reading is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit, one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Sometimes we need to exercise a lot of interpretation to try to understand what the point of a gospel may be. I think it's pretty clear this time. We had this similar gospel a few weeks back where we agreed that this is faith is not a place for power or for authority. It's part of what Jesus is saying. And if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if we want to be followers of Christ, disciples of Jesus, we have to be about service. How easy intellectually to understand what Jesus is saying, how difficult to live it out.
I will go back to something I've said perhaps several times over the last few weeks. Mark's gospel really needs to be read as a whole to understand the context and the movement of it, to really appreciate the beauty of what's present there. But what you're seeing here is, I'd say, almost in a humorous way at how bad it is the misunderstanding of the disciples. You know, the misunderstanding of service, the misunderstanding of what Jesus is calling them to. They're moving further and further along, and they've been with Jesus longer, and still, these people closest to Jesus misunderstand what's going on here. And Jesus has to take all this energy here to say, no, positions of power and choosing honor, that's not what this is about here. And I wish you would ask, why in the world are you still talking about this?
And to the point that it makes me think that it's more theological than historical, that probably the disciples, and we all know that they drinking the chalice, finally they did. I mean, we know that the early Christian traditions have all the apostles suffering martyrdom at some point. So one wants to think that this is more a theological point, a catechetical point that is trying to be made. But we also see examples today of places where abuse of authority in the church happen also. So I guess it's difficult to say.
Right. I would go back and connect to what we were speaking about last week,
okay,
where you're speaking about wealth, to remind us not to have maybe caricatures or images. And I think you were kind of getting at this.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a little more theological, but as we're thinking about how we live this out and as we deal with others, not to have caricatures or images that immediately come to mind. For instance, we know this, and in our moments we can do this. Those who can claim to be the most humble and the servants can be the most judgmental and can be the most kind of obnoxious people to be around. And the other way around, those whom we believe might have a position of honor because of a title or a job or whatever it might be, really can be great servants and can exercise a great role of servitude. So I think we need to listen closely to this and reflect on this. Don't jump to an image of a particular person we have in mind that cheapens, in a sense, what Jesus is saying here.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think is very important is this continued misunderstanding by Jesus' disciples, and his message here is, let's be careful not to demonize them or demonize this position, because guess what? We are this in this way. There are times, sometimes in a single day, where we're very faithful disciples, where we're really doing what the Lord is asking us to do, and then in the next moment we lapse into pettiness or we lapse into sloth or whatever it might be. We vacillate between good and bad is not the right word, but between optimal discipleship and really struggling where Jesus needs to say something to us very challenging. And we do that through life. We can be very linear thinking it, or polarizing is maybe the better way to say it, is good or bad, black or white. The reality is we vacillate between this very often, sometimes even in a day, and certainly through our life.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think connects a bit with what you said as well, what's a life of service? If you look, so we tend to say, and it's better than nothing, when people say, I'm going to volunteer two hours a week. That would be good already, but I think Jesus is speaking about service as a lifestyle. Like when he speaks about forgiveness, it's not about forgiving once or twice. It's about being a person of forgiveness always. What does it mean to be a person of service, like in a constant way? So when I was a child, I was a Boy Scout. I was a difficult one because I always had issues with authority, if you needed to know this. But it was about doing one good deed a day, which was better than what I was doing, probably. But you know what I mean? Jesus would say, it's not about a good deed. It's about a whole life of service and how difficult it is to live this out when it's what Jesus is telling us.
Sometimes we use the word stewardship, and that might not be the best term for this, but I think it's a way to help to understand that way of life.
Yeah.
To say our life is not our own, it's a gift from God, and thus we give back. And it's not something that we do once in a while, but we do it all the time. It's a way of living. And that, yeah, stewardship is a way of life. It's a beautiful way to live when we can live that out.
I think that's about what I would say about this gospel.
Jesus is very clear here. I'm thinking, as I look forward to the weekend, I'm thinking about stewardship in particular. We're getting very close at one of my parishes to very important moments in a capital appeal and asking individuals now to be sacrificial, to understand that everything is a gift from God. And so I'm going to be reflecting on this gospel with that in mind a little bit.
I want to reflect a little bit more about the idea of service. What does service mean? And what's the difference between part-time service and the full-time life of service that Jesus is speaking about? And how do we do this with all our other obligations? We have families, we have jobs, we have a life. How do we live this call to service? It's a very interesting one.
I think it'd be interesting to think about what do you consider an obligation? So one way to think of it is to say, well, my first obligation is to serve. Mm-hmm. And then I schedule the rest of my life, as important as it may seem. But first I serve, or that imbues everything that I do. But possible directions. I'm curious how that goes.
I'm thinking also Jesus says don't exercise authority the way that the Gentiles do. And I think it's naive to think that we don't exercise authority. For instance, you and I are pastors. We have opportunities to exercise authority. How do we do it? But I think everybody has authority over someone. And to be mindful of those relationships also. I think it's important to reflect how we treat others, especially when we have the possibility of power or authority over them.
You know, we've come to, I think, a good realization in our society right now that there have been abuses of power in a number of ways, in Hollywood, in government, and in the church as well. We're coming to that understanding right now, and that reckoning of that. And it happens in a lot of places in this world. And I think it's just important to be cognizant of that we have power over others. Mm-hmm. And how are we using that? Even as parents and in families, this is not for others. This is for each of us to reflect on.
I think we have enough for this week. Maybe...
Yeah, we had a lot of kind of meandering thoughts here today,
yeah.
But I think it's good. So if you're looking for Mass this weekend, masstimes.org is a national site to go to, or in the Milwaukee area or southeastern Wisconsin, archmill.org is the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's website, which is very, very good.
And if you tell others about the podcast, we believe that that's the best way that we can promote the work that we happily do.
All right. So we're going to head back to the conference now, and,
yes.
And then I'll see you next week.
See you then, Philip.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.